news. These are the types of things that some of us live the reality of. Job loss, financial difficulties. It was the beginning of this year when I remember very distinctly, after watching the news one night and getting myself worked up, getting anxious, thinking about those kinds of issues, that I had to do kind of a reality check for myself. It was a point kind of like putting a stake in the ground where I was coming before God and saying, what should my response be to all of this as a follower of Christ? And more than that, what should my response be as a pastor at CBC? What should I be telling people when they want to talk about such issues? Should I be participating in those conversations or not? What should I tell people who might want to talk and pray about how some of these things have affected their lives very personally? It was about that time, I think around January, early February, that I did some soul searching there, and I realized that my focus was being distracted by some of these things happening around me instead of being where it should have been. My focus needed to be back to the heart and the truths that I knew since childhood, that I was taught from God's Word. You know, it's true, when we get our focus off of Christ, when we get our focus off of the biblical truths that we know, then we end up a lot like Peter climbing out of the boat. Do you remember when Jesus came near the boat and the apostle Peter was inside the boat with some of the other disciples, and he was so excited to see Jesus. Jesus called to him. He got out of the boat and he's walking towards Jesus on the water, because Jesus was walking on the water. And as long as he kept his focus and thought on Christ, there he went out across the water. But all of a sudden he realized that he was still in the midst of a terrible storm that they had found themselves in. And he starts sinking as his eyes come off of Christ. Now, I'll agree that that story seems simplistic, and for some of us it may even be hard to believe. But the truth of the matter is, it's the same for us today. It's the same thing God's been working in my heart on over the last few months, of reconnecting with truths. This morning, truths that I'm specifically going to share, and hopefully we all together re-see or see for the first time out of Romans 8. I don't want anyone leaving this service today not understanding how critically important it is for us to keep our eyes on two main truths, really. Truth number one is going to be that, yes, God is at work in our lives. And truth number two is that God is working to protect us, those of us who follow Christ. I'd like you to turn right there with me now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, it'll be the second part of the chapter 8. I'll be starting at verse 28. The title of the sermon this morning is Grow in Christ. I want us to kind of first make sure we're on the same page with what that means. Here's what I believe growing in Christ is. Growing in Christ is a process of learning to live in such a way as to adopt the character traits and priorities of Jesus Christ. A maturing, a growing Christian can handle all that the world might throw at them because they have confidence in our God's ability to work in our life and protect our eternal future. As Christians, tough times offer us the best possibility of continuing to grow in Christ. We're going to have to get better and better at taking our eyes off our surroundings and understanding the truths that lie right here in front of us for this morning. Foundational truth number one. Here it is. God is at work. Foundational truth number one. God is at work. Look at Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. This is the very Bible that I had in senior high as a senior high student, where I sat at my desk one night and I underlined and highlighted this verse. This verse is simple enough that even a child gets the meaning of it. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I ended up highlighting this verse in green. I don't know why green, but for some reason, the promises that God gives us, I end up highlighting in green in my Bible. This one's highlighted in green. Now here's the neat thing about Scripture. This verse, simplistic enough for me to grab hold of that at an early young point in my life, but yet the truths here are so deep that we need to keep reminding one another of what's in here and then understanding how to keep grabbing onto it in our life. Look at the first part of this verse. Paul is speaking to Christians who are living in Rome, and he was saying, "And we know that in all things God works." This language here where Paul is saying, "And we know," the way it is said, he's meaning and intending that Christians who follow Christ agree and know this. It's like a foregone conclusion. We know, here's what we know, that in all things God works. Now here's where we get tripped up. It's that word "all" there in this verse. We know that in all things God works, on and on. Really, Paul? Really, do you mean that all things God can use for good in our lives, those that follow Christ? Isn't that where we get stuck? When we're in the middle of circumstances that, humanly speaking, we are saying there is no way that God is in this or He's going to bring good out of this. I looked up that word and I studied that word. I wanted to make sure that I knew what that word meant. So I looked it up in the Greek. It's a short word. And I want to tell you what the word "all" there means in this passage. It means all. There's a pretty deep study, okay? Ooh, Pastor Todd's on a roll now. He's got that one figured out. This word means everything, totality, all-inclusive. Very small word, very powerful word. Everything, nothing is left out. Well, wait a minute. Maybe Paul was the type of guy who had a pretty easy life that pretty much went the way he wanted. So he's kind of one of these dreamer types, you know, that just throw out flowery words like this. Oh, in all things God works for good. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is Paul's resume. And we see that Paul went through things that many of us can't even relate to. Torturing, beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks. He was persecuted for his faith in ways most of us can't even imagine. It's this guy who writes a letter to the Roman Christians, some of them which are his friends, and tells them, in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can be using all things including the things we saw on the screen, somehow for good in the larger picture of mankind. I know I needed to keep, in the months coming up to this sermon, I had to keep coming back to that and saying, yeah, I believe that with all my heart. I don't always understand it, but I believe it with all my heart. Now, look at how this verse rolls out. Paul isn't saying that God works for good in everybody's life. This isn't some kind of universal thinking that God is always working for good everywhere. Look at the language. There's kind of a qualifier here. He works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Are you one of those? Are you one who loves God and who's been called according to His purpose? I think we can answer that pretty easily. Let me say one thing here. I think some of us can get off track in seeing the end of that sentence where it says, who are called according to His purposes. You say, well, Pastor, I understand there are certain people seem to know that they're really called by God for something special. You know, Chester Martin came up here and prayed, and it's easy for most of us to kind of say, wow, Chester Martin, he probably for sure fits this category. Maybe even some pastors around here and maybe the musicians who are up here. I want to take you back to where we can see what this means. Who is it that Paul's talking about? Go to John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 3. Probably one of the most popular verses in all of Scripture, maybe next to Psalm 23, is John 3:16. As I read this, if this is a verse you've heard like 1,000 times in your lifetime, you've probably memorized it as a little kid, I want you to turn that part of your brain off and just listen and look as I read this. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Who did God love? The world. How much? He gave all, sacrificed Jesus Christ's life on the cross. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In Romans 8:28, Paul is referring to that qualifier. If you are walking with Christ, if you understand that Jesus Christ is God, at some point in your life you've made a commitment to that, to following Him, then you're included in this verse 8:28. You know, I said this was a promise. This is a promise that Paul said he was led by the Holy Spirit to write this down and communicate it. You need to know whether this promise is for you or not. And I don't think this needs to be some wishy-washy type of thing. If you're in the room this morning and you've dedicated yourself to Christ, then you're included in that, and you know that. Now, I understand that depending on what day and week and year it is in our lives, you might not say that your walk with Christ is going really well according to your own kind of grade on that. But you know whether you've made that decision or not. There are some of you in the room who definitely know that you've never done that. Say, well, I've heard a lot about God or the Bible, but no, I have never said that I want to accept Christ as my Savior and turn over the leadership of my life to Him. I say that because I want you to grab hold of this verse. This is what we all need in times where we face difficulties. We need it every day, whether we think things are difficult or not. But particularly, we need to be hanging on to the truth here that God works for good of those who love Him. James 1, 2 through 4 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wow, this is pretty crazy. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. All through Scripture, we see the principle that it's during those crises moments, those hard days, where God really teaches us how to trust Him, for instance, or how to follow Him more. If our goal is to grow in Christ, no matter what's going on around us, then there is the ability to consider it joy when we're in the midst of hardship. And this is written by a guy who really knows his stuff in that area. So that's part of what I come off the last few months really rolling in my own heart, is to say, when I'm tempted to be worried, when I'm tempted to engage in conversation about the things going on around me I don't like, it's very close to the surface of God's Spirit reminding me, now Todd, if you truly believe that I'm at work in your life for good in all situations, then you're really denying that belief by talking the way you talk. Whew. Man, if we can grab a hold of this principle that God is at work, I think that alone can inspire us, can encourage us to return to that belief in the midst of hard days. I guess this is the way I wrap this section up, and you'll see it on the screens behind me, I think. The first foundational truth, that God is at work, can help us embrace uncertain times without discouragement and fear, because we know that God loves us and He is working all things for good. Let's take a look at the second foundational truth that I think we find in this passage. And that is the truth that God is protecting. God is protecting. Let's look at verse 29. I want to read 29 and 30. It's a little hard to follow through these words, but do your best. And we'll talk about it a little bit. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Within these two verses is some of the deepest, meatiest truth of Scripture to be found. There are people that have devoted their whole ministry careers to studying just these two verses. As I was looking through it, I ended up assembling 5 or 6 pages of handwritten notes just in what's all in there. And now I'd like to spend 3 hours going through that. I realized I couldn't do that this morning, but I kind of condensed these two verses down in a way that I think we can grab hold of. These verses, when you inspect them, wonderfully explain that every person who is genuinely saved is eternally saved. The Lord has predetermined the destiny of every person who will believe in Him, and it's a great destiny based on His love for us. Here's the way J. Vernon McGee wraps up these two verses in his commentary. And for me, it makes sense. When God saves you, He is going to see you through. In those two verses, we see that from eternity past, clear through this life, and into heaven and beyond, We are protected and secured by God, spiritually speaking. Once you are in God's family, you're in God's family. Now look in the middle of verse 29 again with me. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. See those words in there? Conformed to the likeness of His Son. That's kind of the heart of what I was trying to say as we started this morning. To grow in Christ is just a different way to say that. Because remember I said to grow in Christ means that we are in a process in our lives of adopting the character traits and the priorities that Jesus Christ has. God is at work in our lives, working that process out in us and protecting that process. And somehow, because of His goodness and His might and His power and His love for us, He continues to do that even when we're not sure that He's at work in our lives. That's something. Look at verse 31 with me. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to settle this matter. If you haven't settled this matter of connecting with this truth, please work with me now to look at this scripture and to make some sense of it. What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? In the midst of things going on around us that are rough and tough, we need to be very mindful of the fact that God is both powerful and loving. You can't trust a God in hard times who's not powerful. He needs to be bigger than the problems that we're in. Well, all through Scripture, we have proof of that. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength." Isaiah 40 talks about God being the Creator. If you cannot continue to grab hold of the fact that God's essence is both power and love, you will struggle through this life. That's the bottom line for us today. Do we believe that God's powerful enough that He is in control? And do we believe that He's loving and good? That even in hard times, He can be working in my life? That's the bottom line. That's where I was. That's where I continue to be. And to look to myself and say, do I trust that God is that powerful? And do I trust that He has my best interest in mind no matter what? Some of us struggle with this one. I sense that most people I meet don't really have a problem understanding that God is powerful. Now I'm talking about Christians, okay? Christians who have come to see that, believe that. Here's where I think some of us in the room have the most difficulty. I think we forget or we have trouble believing that God actually loves us, that He desires our best. If you've been raised and walking through life in situations where you see people who are powerful or influential abuse their power and don't put other people's best interest in mind, somehow it ends up with a disconnect in our mind. It's hard for us to believe that God would really love us. If we had parents who weren't that loving, it kind of short-circuits some of that. If we've worked for bosses who had power but always were looking out for themselves, it short-circuits that process. Each of us have to do what we need to do, working through God's Word, through prayer, through talking to other Christians, to really grab hold of this in our life. That no matter what's going on, we trust in God's goodness, that He has a plan going on. Now, I'm not saying the process is simple. I'm not saying it's quick. But to deny that, to deny God's power, to deny God's love and care for you, I just need to say it straight. You're not understanding Scripture. You're not understanding the essence of who God is. And I speak to myself as much as you. Because how could God truly love someone like me? Or you? Why would He care? That's the beauty of our faith. That's the beauty of who God is. God chose to love us. Look how much He loves us. Let's keep reading along. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Do you hear Paul's argument to the Roman Christians? And man, does this apply to me and probably to most of us. How could He not love you, Roman Christians? Jesus Christ just died. He just went to the cross for your sake. Why in the world would God now condemn you? Look as we read on, verse 34. Who is He that condemns? Paul's asking this question. Is it Jesus Christ who died? No, it's not. He goes on, because He was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Well, there's a verse I'd love to preach just on that verse. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He sits at the right hand of God the Father now, intervening, praying on our behalf to the Father. Incredible. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The answer to that is an obvious no. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whew! Do you think Paul left anything else out here? Is there something going on in your life right now that wasn't covered by this language? It's kind of back to that word all. See it there in verse 37? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because we're so great? No. Through Him who loved us. Because of Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. He protects us. He is with us. Go back to verse 32 for a second. He, meaning God, who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? This is where we can get confused too, because we think there's something wrong with us if we're looking around and in the midst of hardship and we say, well, why isn't God giving me all things? It says right there, Pastor Todd, He wants to give me all things. And we think to ourselves, why don't I have the new house I want? Why did I not get that great job I want? See, God's not blessing me. Man, are we off base when we start thinking like that? Because God and the way He blesses us is not understood by us. You know, that's the only way to say it. We can't tell when God's blessing us. I'd like to refer now to that great theologian Garth Brooks. Do you know Garth Brooks? Country music singer. He's actually not a theologian, but maybe you've heard the line in that song that he sings. Sometimes God's greatest blessings are unanswered prayers. I think that song is pretty accurate. If you think about your life, you will be able to think back to things that you may have prayed for or wanted or desired in your life. And at that time, you were praying, Lord, give me this. Maybe it was a relationship, like in the song. Or maybe it's a home or a job or whatever it is. Well, in the song, it goes on that later on, the singer finds out that the greatest blessing in his life was when God didn't answer a prayer because he had something better in mind. I think in America we fall into this trap all the time. We talk about God's blessing and we pray, God bless America. I'm for that prayer, and please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But we really don't have any idea what that means. Maybe God's greatest blessing in the next 10 years for America is that we go down the tubes. Maybe through that, He will call millions of people to Himself. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not predicting that. I'm not saying that's something I want. But the truth is, we don't really have any idea. You being fired from a job, was that a blessing or a curse? I know it feels like a curse. The relationships you're in, maybe they're going terrible. It feels like a curse. We don't know what God wants to do. But these scriptures say that He is protecting us. It doesn't say in verse 32 that He's going to give us all the things we want. He's saying that He has sealed us. He's protecting our soul, our eternal future. We don't understand that. We need to trust God in those areas of our life where we're struggling and just be reminded of these scriptures. Kind of wrap this section up with some words that, again, you'll see on the screens. This section, second foundational truth, offers peace and confidence during uncertain times because our future is protected and secured by God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? As that truth sinks in, the pressures, the stress, the anxiety of current community, national, world things melt away. We love and serve a God who first loved us. He has the power to use all circumstances in our lives for good. We who follow Christ must rest on these two foundational truths. God is working and God is protecting. That's where our eyes need to be as we are walking through these days. If we continue to do that, You will see God working in your life. You will see this church and many other churches grow. When we connect with other Christians who believe this and live this, that's an incredibly encouraging thing. Most of Christian history has been Christians suffering terribly for their faith. And in the midst of that, God continues to pour His blessing and grow His church. You have to keep thinking like that. I want to give you a couple minutes. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I would like to encourage you to ask God through His Holy Spirit, maybe just to speak to your heart right now about this. Is there something you need to do or change tomorrow and this week because of what's said in Scripture? Just meditate on that for a little bit. Please stand as I have a closing prayer. Just bow our heads and close our eyes out of respect to the Lord. Father, there's so much in your word. It's so rich, it's so full. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to understand all that is in your word for us. Thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul written down in Romans 8. I thank you, Lord, that I can understand very simply that you're at work in my life for good, and that there's nothing that can remove me from your hand. I pray that you would help that truth continue to sink in to my heart and every person in this room. And Lord, I know that the depths of understanding the Scripture and the processes of working it out in our lives, Lord, we're just not very good at it at times. I pray for everyone in this room, Lord, that you would touch their lives, that you would allow this to be real in their hearts, that it wouldn't be some just talk about trusting you. Please, Holy Spirit, do the work in our hearts that would make CBC a church full of people who know how to trust you, who know how to believe that you are working for our best, who believe that our future, our salvation is secure in you. Lord, may that make a difference in our lives starting right now, that we would be able to watch the news and live through the events of our time in such a way that our walk with you will grow and flourish, that we will love you more at the end of the hard times than when we began them. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. May you never stop. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's kind of a heavy note to leave on in some ways, but I hope you feel encouraged, because that's really where our eyes need to be focusing, on growing with Christ, no matter what comes our direction. May God bless you. Have a great week.